The following message from Bible teacher and pastor Jim Crabb is brought to you by Imago Dei Christian Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
Glory to the Lamb. All right. I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Genesis and chapter 17 today. I've got a singular truth that I want to make today. In Genesis chapter 17, let's begin reading in verse 1. This Genesis 17 is one of the chapters of my Bible that always falls out first. Because there's so many good things in this chapter about my life, about how to live life and connected to God. Genesis 17, 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be perfect. And I will make my covenant, I will make an agreement. A covenant is the strongest bond and relationship and piece of promise that can be made between men and God or men and men. I will make my covenant, this is God speaking, between me, that's God, and you, that's Abraham, and I'm going to multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face and talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be, he's talking to Abraham, and you'll be the father of many nations. So he already told him up in, he told him in verse 2, I'm going to multiply you exceedingly. He told him in verse 4, you're going to be the father of many nations. In other words, I mean literally, I mean entire ethnic groups are going to be come out of you. Huh? Sometimes I think we're servants. The God that most of us serve is not the God of the Bible. We're serving some tiny little God that can't do much, that is far removed from my life, and why would he do anything for me and to help me? I want you to know that we serve a God that's able. He came out of the gate and said, I'm going to make a relationship with you. And once I make that relationship with you, I'm going to multiply you exceedingly. God, he doesn't even like build up to it. Like, I'm gonna start blessing you. But he came out and said, I'm going to multiply you exceedingly. In fact, I'm going to so multiply you. I'm glad in my natural heritage, I'm glad I didn't multiply when I started having children. I just liked addition. One, I was a one at a time guy. Were you? That's how I was. Huh? I liked it better that way. I had one, and then I was like, this one's a lot of work. And she was a good one, but it was a lot of work. I admire people. They have one, then they have another one. Then they have another one. These people that have, numbers of little children. So Sarah and I it took some while. We had some battles and stuff with fertility after Leah was born. But man, it was like 12 years. My girls are like 12 years apart. And, we battled and we thought, oh man, we want that baby to get here. You know, at the end of the day, I was like, huh, maybe that was the Lord blessing me. Get one at a time. Take one all the way up to 12. And then I'm ready for another little tiny one. God bless our families that have a bunch of little ones. May God have mercy on you and touch you. And have mercy on the grandparents of those children. Hallelujah. But the Lord said, I'm going to multiply. Say, he multiplies. He multiplies. I believe God is a multiplier. I believe he's going to take what we give him. He's going to take what's happened to us, whatever. This was just about Abraham's faith, about he was called to have this seed, get a baby in this world. right? Well, that was Abraham's ministry. Get that baby here, right? Well, whatever our ministry is, Megan's is worship. I believe God's going to, Megan's seen times of addition, but it's a time of multiplication is coming. He's going to multiply that ministry. He's going to multiply it. You know, when you start multiplying, I love my God, you get, that's my kind of gig, man, because you get places faster. Yeah. It's not one and then another one and then another one and then another one. I'm gonna start multiplying what you already got. If you started out with two and added two, that's good, that's four. But then you started, what if you then started multiplying instead of adding? Then all of a sudden you jump from four to eight instead of six. Then you multiply again. Then, hallelujah, then you're at 16. Then you're at 32. Then you're at 64, aren't you? That thing, once multiplication gets started, I'm believing God for, I want to say it over everybody today. Whatever your ministry is, whatever you're trusting God, whatever your hand's doing, may God multiply that over your life. Let it multiply. Let your money multiply. Let your joy multiply. Some of you, I'm telling you, you need some multiplied joy because it ain't working adding the way your face is looking. Some of you act like the Lord's going to fall off his throne if you grin a little bit. I'm believing for multiplied joy. Shout joy, joy, joy. Down in my heart. Say it again. Joy, joy, joy. Down in my heart. I want multiplied joy. I want multiplied hope. I want multiplied love. I want multiplied grace. Now, I want a lot of a subtraction of sin in my life. Yes. We're taking sin out, but we're multiplying the things of the kingdom of God in our lives. Yes. And I don't care if you're a builder. May God send you so much work. May he multiply your work where you got so much work you don't even know what to do. I'm believing him to multiply our years. We got a lot of work to do. There's a lot of, this world's not getting better. The world's getting worse. Those that don't know Christ, the world that doesn't know Christ, and they're going to need us around for a while. Lord, multiply my years. I want to see my children. I've seen them. I want to see my grandchildren. I've seen some of them. I want to see my great-grandchildren. I'm going to. And I want to see my great-great-grandchildren. I'm going to. I'll let the Lord know when I'm done multiplying. It's finished. I want everything in my life to be multiplied. I really feel that today. God will multiply everything you put your hand to. He told Abraham, and Abraham's an old man, and Sarah's an old lady, his wife, man. They're like 100 years old, 99 years old, man. And the Lord came to him and had the audacity at that age to tell him, I'm going to multiply you exceedingly. He was struggling to even get one here. Sometimes the promises of God do that to us. They rock our world. Good. That's what they're designed to do. I'm going to multiply you exceedingly. Verse 4, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. I mean, entire nations are going to come out of you. Whew. Neither shall your name be any more called Abram, but you will be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made you. I like how he talks there. Have I already made you? Not I'm going to make you. I've already made you. Because the power of the multiplication is in the word of God, not in our capacity to pull it off. Hallelujah. The power of the multiplication to multiply Abraham is not in his power to be potent and have seed. The power was in the word of God. And God already told him before anything happened, when he couldn't do anything. How many ever felt you just feel helpless? That's great. We're praying it gets worse. We're praying your helplessness multiplies so that you will trust God and understand if anything happens, it'll be because the Lord has done it and he multiplied me. That's the power of multiplication. Hallelujah. My, my, my. Verse 6. And I will make you exceeding fruitful. And I will make nations come out of you, and even kings will come out of you. And I will establish my covenant between... Now watch this real quick here. I will establish my covenant between me, that's God, and you, that's Abraham, and your seed after you, watch this now, in their generations. That's us. I will establish, somebody said, why are you always talking about Abraham? Because Abraham talks about us. I will establish my covenant between God, myself, God, you, Abraham. So that had to do with Abraham. But I'm not just making it with Abraham. I'm making it with you and your seed in their generations. Well, this is my generation. I'm, however, you know, thousands of years ago when Abraham lived, the word right there that prophesied about you and me today in our generation. Now watch. This covenant that God made, he made with Abraham. But he also made it with the seed of Abraham during their generation. In other words, no matter when that is, that same covenant exists between God. And that God that made that covenant with Abraham gave the power was in the word in that covenant to get help Abraham, who was an old man, and Sarah, who was an old woman, conceive a child in their old age. Well, that same God with that same power is working in our generation. And we have the same covenant that Abraham has. In their generation, I'm going to make that covenant with you. Huh. That's good, isn't it? That's why we can be bold. That's why we can be confident. Huh? Mm. And I will be a God unto thee and unto thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, verse 8, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, you shall keep my covenant, therefore you and your seed in their generations. Now, you know, he goes on, but I can't read all this today, but let's get down to verse 15. God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, thy wife, you shall not call her name Sarai. But Sarah changed the spelling of her name. He put her name in her name. He put his name in her name. Her name's going to be, so he'd already changed Abraham's name. Now he's changed Sarah's name. And I will bless her. Watch it. And I will give her a son also of her. And I will bless her. And she'll be a mother of nations. And kings and people will come out of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face. Huh. And laughed. And said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old, will she bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Now, we don't have time for all this, but we have to reference this. Because Ishmael was Abraham's son. In the previous chapter, Ishmael was born. And Ishmael was the child of Abraham and one of Sarah's good ideas. Now, you know your wife is not thinking right when she says, look, man, we've been working on having a baby. We've been doing what you do to have babies. It's not working out. But there's one of my maids is a really good-looking young Egyptian girl. Can you imagine your wife saying this? You know, when you get in unbelief, it'll make you stupid. And this is Sarah. And Sarah said, why don't you, I got an idea. I think this will work. We'll get a child. But go in there and have intercourse with this good-looking young Egyptian maid. Abraham. Now this is when Abraham lost his mind, he said, okay. For a bunch of different reasons, because if Abraham was thinking he's not going to get in trouble for saying yes, and he can't, listen, this isn't going to work, you blame it on the wife later on, it was your idea. And it's true. So Abraham goes in that tent. Huh? See, when you start doubting God, Abraham, when you start doubting God, this happens. He went into Hagar's tent. Had intercourse with Hagar, she gets pregnant. Oh, great, now we're going to have a son. Well, you know the story of Ishmael. That didn't work out so well. And God said, and the reason it didn't work out is because it's a bad idea. Number two, the reason it didn't work out is because that's not what God said. That's the main thing. Some of y'all got to get off your, well, you can figure it out. You're smart people. You're sharp, and you have another way to do stuff. Listen, man, we have to listen to what the Word of God says, and we have to do it God's way. That's just how it is. God told me, I'm going to have a son, Abraham, and he said that it's going to be born out of me, but out of Sarah. It's going to be our offspring. But Abraham got impatient. Sarah got impatient. Tried the other idea. So Ishmael's born. Ishmael mocks, you know, it's a bad story. They eventually had to put Ishmael away. Okay. And it's been aggravation ever since. So we know that Ishmael wasn't the seed, the promised seed, was he? But Ishmael was alive. But he's not the... He's not going to say, he didn't say, I'm going to multiply you exceedingly through Ishmael, did he? He said, I'm going to multiply your seed. He was implying through he and Sarah in their covenant, in their marriage covenant. And so Abraham's like, look what he said here. That's my, I said that because of, look at verse 18. Because God's promising him, you're going to have a child. And Abraham, listen, brother. One chapter before this, you got in all kinds of trouble with God and Sarah for doubting what God said and having Ishmael and going in that tent with that Egyptian girl. Yeah, that's trouble. That's doubting God. That's unbelief. Huh? And now God's still telling you, I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to give you a miracle son. I don't care if you're 100 years old and Sarah's 90. I, God, am able to give you a child. And so he tells that to Abraham. You'd think Abraham would learn his lesson after chapter 16. But still, now Abraham, he still gets the word from God, the same one. I'm going to bless you, and you're going to have a child, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless your seed or your offspring. And Abraham's laughing. And then Abraham said, you can tell he doesn't have it yet. He just doesn't get it yet. Because in verse 18, and Abraham said, oh God, that Ishmael might live before you. He's still wishing Ishmael would be the one. What he's saying is, I mean, at least we got something here to work with. I wish Ishmael, I know Ishmael's not right, but I wish it would work out. You can wish all you want to about all these other things except what God promised you. We have to trust what God promises. All right, now I'm getting somewhere. Verse 19. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, not Hagar, not the Egyptian girl, not the mother of Ishmael, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear you a son indeed, and you will call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. Verse 21. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac. In three verses is the second time he said it. I will establish my covenant with Isaac, which Sarah will bear unto you at this set time next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So before Isaac's born, God's telling him, I'm going to multiply and bless you through your seed. Now, well, Ishmael's my seed. No, he's not. Not the one I'm... No. Come on. Well, I don't know. I don't have a seed. I know it. But this time next year, you're going to have a seed. His name's going to be Isaac, and he's the one that once he gets here, I'm going to establish this covenant, and that's where your multiplication's going to come, and that's where nations are going to come out of him, and I'm going to make you so fruitful. Okay, now, just real quick, look at Hebrews 11. And if I might, Aaron, I'm going to switch to the Amplified Bible here. Okay, so who is the covenant with? Okay, it's with Isaac. I mean, it's God. It's with God, Abraham, and Isaac. Right? Not Ishmael. All right, now. So, and I know we know this story. Isaac eventually gets born. Isaac is the promised child. The one that God promised is come. He lives, he's an early teenager. And one day God spoke to Abraham and said, because of my deep relationship with you, you're my man, right? You'll do what I tell you to do? Yes, sir, I have a covenant with you. Okay, today I want you to take Isaac, and I want you to offer Isaac up as a sacrifice. You see, when you're in a covenant relationship with God, we are 100% in. If we expect God all in, God expects us all in. That's why I curse that apathy off anybody in here about anything. I curse apathy about giving. I curse apathy about church attendance. I curse apathy about joy. Apathy about serving God. Apathy about winning souls.
Yes, yes.
Man, I curse that thing. We're all in. We're all in people. I believe in living like that. We're not just church members. We're not just religious people. Man, I got a covenant with God. And the God we have a covenant with, he's all in. He's 100% in. He's 100%. He's working with me. He's trying to help me with everything I do, everything I say, everything that pertains to me. God is all in. He showed me through Christ. He's all in. Shout out loud, he's all in. And if I have a covenant with him, I'm all in. How would, you know, marriage doesn't work when it's, you know, when Sarah's all in and I'm not very in. Isn't that true? How many brothers been in trouble over that one? She's all in. And you're acting like you have all this other stuff going on and you forgot about how all in you were supposed to be and she expects you to be. How many know mama expects you to be all in? Huh? She does. If you, I mean, that's it. Well, Abraham was all in. He said, I'll do anything you tell me to do. So God said, I want you to offer your son. I want you to make your son the sacrifice today. Take him up the hill, get up early in the morning, go up on top of Mount Moriah, and I want you to offer him. Abraham was used to doing that because they would offer lambs up on that altar. They would give sacrifices of sheep and animals. And Abraham knew what that meant. And now he's asking, he said, you know that thing that you believed me for? You know that promise that I gave you? Yes, sir. Isaac. He said, yeah. Isaac means, what's Isaac mean? Laughter. He said, take the happy one, the one that brings you joy. Take him up that mountain and offer him there as a sacrifice. And so Abraham obeyed that. Now, this is what I want to show you. I know you may know this, but this helps me to remind myself of this. Okay, verse 17 in the Amplified. All right, who's the promised seed to Abraham? Isaac, not Ishmael. It's Isaac. A specific person was the beginning of the seed that would make the nations. And where the multiplication would come from. It had, in other words, God was like, it can't be just anybody. Right. I want, this is who I'm talking about. This one that's going to be born out of you next year when you're 100 years old and Sarah's 91. Okay. By faith, Abraham. There's a lot of people today, they don't live by faith anymore. A lot of people, if we were reading that about our lives, we might read, and Abraham. But no, you got to put this in front of it, man. This is how we live. The just live by faith.
Yep, it's all faith.
We live trusting God. We live in everything trust. I don't know who I'm going to marry. Well, trust God. I don't know if there's any good brothers out there. Well, trust God for one. You only need one. I lost my job. Well, pray and believe God. By faith, we're going to get another job. I lost my house. Well, there's a lot of houses. Let's pray and let's believe God for another one. We trust God about everything.
Amen.
By faith, Abraham, when he was put to the test. Now, you know, when you say, I believe something, it's okay for God to test what you say you believe. I know guys that talk real cocky about stuff. You know, sometimes fighters, you've seen a boxing match and guys get up in each other's face at the weigh-in. And they're talking trash to one another. It's one thing to talk trash when you're standing in a pair of jockey shorts on a scale. But I'll tell you, that's not the test. The test is going to come on Friday night in round one when they ring the bell. And the other guy that's a really good fighter and knows how to box, he's going to come after you. That's the test.
That's right. The test. Right. Yeah.
I think most people wish the test of Christianity was when we were standing around in our boxer shorts making big statements. This is the fun part in here doing this. The tough part's when we get out of here. See, if you really understood that truth, you'd pray, Lord, let Pastor preach longer so I don't have to get out of here and have a test. It's pretty wild. I know. It's pretty radical. I know. By faith, Abraham, when he was put to the test. How you doing on your test? How am I doing on my test about the things that God promised me? Abraham was put to the test. In other words, while the testing of his faith was still in progress, he had already brought Isaac for an offering. So he took Isaac up that hill, and he And he lays Isaac on that altar. I mean, he wasn't going to like pretend he was doing this. He who had gladly received and welcomed God's promises, he gladly received them and welcomed them into his life. Watch it. Was ready to sacrifice his only son. He was ready to do it. Next verse. Of whom it was said. Now he's going to. Okay. Of whom it was said. In other words, who was he offering? The one of whom it was said, through Isaac will your descendants be reckoned or be known or be created. So wait a minute. He's about to kill the offspring that's going to create all the other blessings and this multiplication in the rest of his life. Now, what do you think? Here, what's the test of his faith right there? What would be the test of his faith? Well, the test of his faith is, God, you can't, if I kill him on this altar, I obey you. But if I kill him on the altar, what you promised in my past can't come true. Because I'm killing off the promise. Because you promised. It's not Ishmael. I finally learned it. I got it. You promised me. You said it over and over. The promise is coming through Isaac. Now, I want to obey you. But if I obey you, won't I lose the future of all the promises and the blessing? That was the test. You know, I see people today, we live like that. People don't understand that, man. Yeah, you're able to sow something. You know, when you put a seed in the ground, it dies. And we get scared. We hold on to our seed. Because we're afraid that if we put it in the ground, it dies. What are we going to do about it?
Right.
If you want it to grow, though, you got to get rid of it. All right, now watch. Watch this now. For Abraham reason. How did Abraham do this? How could Abraham do this by faith and with such... I hear preachers preach messages about... I remember in a philosophy class I took, I was a philosophy minor in school, and I remember a philosophy class about Soren Kierkegaard. I don't know if you know that name. He's an existentialist philosopher, and he was a Christian. But he had some weird ideas. And he wrote a book called Fear and Trembling. And he talks about the dread that must have been on Abraham as he walked up the mountain with his son. And this is his only son. And the dread. And did he even tell Sarah? And what was going to happen? And how difficult it was. And what they're trying. And people live like that. Preachers preach it like that. And they preach, oh, how hard that, how difficult that was. And I'm sure he almost backed out. I want to tell you right now, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Why? Here's why. For Abraham reasoned. See, there's a good way to use your mind. He reasoned that God was able. Able to what? He was able to raise him up. Even from among the dead. Now, so in other words, Abraham reasoned, if I kill him, God's going to raise him from the dead. Why would he reason that? Why is that good spiritual logic? Watch. Indeed, in the sense, this is before he left. This is before he went up the mountain. Indeed, in the sense that Isaac was figuratively dead, In other words, potentially sacrificed. In other words, in his mind, that's a lot of words, but what he's saying is, before Abraham left and went up that mountain to obey God and offer Isaac, Abraham thought it through. And he said, well, if I go up there and obey God, I'm going to take a knife, put Isaac on the altar, and I'm going to slit his throat. All right? So in Abraham's mind, he already saw that happening. Abraham, before he did it, he already reasoned out that's what's going to happen. So in Abraham's mind, he saw this in his mind's eye. This is what's going to happen. So indeed in the sense that Isaac was figuratively dead. In other words, he wasn't really dead yet when Abraham was thinking about this. He was figuratively dead, potentially sacrificed at the bottom of the mountain before he went up. He did actually receive him back from the dead. So in Abraham's mind, before he went up that mountain, he thought this through. I'm going to take him up the mountain. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to slit his throat. But because why? This is the key to me. Where could he get the logic that God was going to raise him from the dead? Based on what? The promise of what? Huh? Yep. Because, maybe some people are saying that, because he has to. He has to. Why? Because who's he slitting? Whose throat is it he's slitting? Isaac's. He's slitting Isaac's throat. But God said, I promise it through Isaac, not through Ishmael, and not through anybody else. Now, I don't know if in Abraham's mind it went through his mind, well, we'll just believe God. If I slit his throat, we'll believe God for another one. But I don't believe Abraham thought that. I think Abraham knew, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. God's going to raise him from the dead. If I'm supposed to kill him, then God's supposed to raise him from the dead, because a dead man, a dead son, can't produce the seed that's going to come out of me. Next verse. Well, that's a whole, we could go down another path. The point is this. Let's just stop here. Listen to me. You see, when you spiritually reason it through and you lean hard on the promises of God, that's why God's going to do what he said. Wait, and I mean the specific promise of God. The specific promise wasn't some other child. It was Isaac. And Abraham was so convinced, finally, after laughing, after Ishmael, he was so convinced about the will of God that he knew this, that if I slit Isaac's throat, God's going to raise him from the dead. Now, you know, I really believe this. Because he really believed that, he was willing to slit that sacrifice, make that sacrifice for that boy. You know, God looked at that and said, I'm already moved and impressed, brother. God would have, if he would have gone through with it, you know, the story is he didn't, because there was a ram in the bush. God already provided a sacrifice. My point is this. I wish we'd get back to the place where we trusted God's specific word about every specific promise, about every specific thing. And I'm telling you that God, if he's got to raise Isaac from the dead, he's going to get it done, because that's what he promised. Now listen, there's things in our lives, everybody in this room, that you're waiting for, or we're holding on to because we're afraid if we do this and this, we won't have that in the future. I want you to know today that if God's will is for the church to live like this and say, Lord, have your way. I'll sacrifice whatever I need to sacrifice. I'll sacrifice my time. I'll sacrifice what I feel like. I'll sacrifice my body. I'll sacrifice my money. I'll give my life for the cause because I know that you're going to do whatever it takes to get it back up and raise it up and give it to me for the glory of Almighty God. Can I hear a good amen?
Amen.
We're going to trust God for our Isaac.
Yes,
whatever your Isaac is, God will raise it from the dead.
Hallelujah.
Somebody said, did you ever raise the dead, Pastor? What? I raise the dead all the time. My checkbook. You know how many times Sarah and I have been in this? I mean, time and time again. You know, especially we were younger, man, it was lean. Yet God would say, I want all of it. I don't know how many services. Sarah and I finally, we had these head signals. We just look at each other and know about each other. I know the Lord just spoke to you. Give whatever, give it all. Even though we knew we needed it. Give it anyway. And somebody said, you ever seen the dead? You better understand it. And after we did it, we would thank God. Because we would know when we get in the car, we'd get home, we would raise our hands and say, Lord, we thank you that you're able to raise the dead. That though my checkbook looks like it's incurable, though my checkbook looks like there is no hope, like there is no way, and I've just killed whatever chance of paying my bills that I ever had by sowing in that offering, I want you to know, God, that you are able exceedingly abundantly beyond, and you're able to raise my checkbook from the dead. I've seen marriages raised from the dead. I love it when people come and say, we're getting a divorce. There is no hope. We don't want to talk anymore. Well, if we can get them just to believe God for one more second and hang on. I've watched marriages be raised from the dead.
Yes, come on.
Jesus Christ will raise up from the out of the ashes every part of your life.
Yes.
And he'll give you and you know what? Once Abraham said, it doesn't matter if I kill him. If I don't kill him, I'm in disobedience. If I do kill him, I have a greater chance at the exceeding.
We trust you enjoyed this message. For more information about Pastor Jim Crabb and Imago Dei, please visit our website at imagodeicincy.com. imagodeicincy.com.